Welcome back to the Solid Foundations podcast. Today, I'll be having a conversation with my friend, my fellow coach at Solid, Jordan. We are going to be talking about today the journey of becoming a business owner, from employee to business owner. Me, myself, like we were talking about before we started recording, is that I don't have a lot of experience being an employee because I started running my business at such a young age as a teenager. And what I really want to help the listeners understand is that at any point in time, you can become your own boss, your own your entrepreneur or business owner, no matter where at in your journey. So, you know, I'd like to start with you. I know right now you're owner of Superior Fitness. Mm-hmm. Before that, you were independent contractor there for a while. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then, but you kind of bounced around.
Oh yeah.
Different places, either as an employee or independent contractor and mm-hmm. personal training. Before that, what was your, like, at your earliest time in life, what was your job landscape like? What was the timeline of what you went through working, whether it was fast food mm-hmm. to personal training, like? How was that?
Yeah, so I got my first job when I was 15 years old at Foster's Freeze up on the Mesa as the head fry cook.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my first actual job. I used those funds to pay for my personal training at the time. So there's always been an interest in fitness in that realm.
Were you already working out then?
Yeah, I was in football. For me, I first started working out when I was 13. I was really into sports, and I understood that you could train to be better at sports, and that really intrigued me. So that was kind of the spark. And then, like I said, that personal trainer that I had during that time when I was 15 and had that job really started getting me on the path of planting those seeds, which now, you know, have come to fruition in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, early on, it was, employee at Foster's Freeze as a fry cook, and then had a few other jobs like that, blenders, and played against sports, a few retail jobs.
And this is like 15?
Yeah, 15 to, I would say, like 18.
Okay.
I had those jobs. And then got my personal training certification when I was 19. Started working at a gym, Spectrum, out in Goleta, as an employee.
And that's pretty much the standard route, right, in the gym industry. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a personal trainer, a lot of people start as personal trainer at a major gym.
Yep.
Yeah, and then build your clientele from there. Is that how it went for you?
Exactly. So there's always trade-offs. As an employee at a gym, the trade-off is they take a bunch of the money. So, you know, a client could be paying a certain amount. The gym's going to take like 70% of it. You get about 30%. The good part is they feed you clients. So mm-hmm. they'll have members that come sign up, or you're interested in a trainer. Here's a free consultation. And that will be an opportunity for the employee trainer to kind of pitch their stuff, get the sale. And yeah, I learned a lot of skills through that process as an employee.
Sales skills or the physical training skills?
Both. So yeah, you learn how to sell yourself, which we do in every facet of life. Yeah. You know, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, you are always selling yourself to some capacity, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was as an employee, learning those sales skills, learning how to train people, different types of people.
Okay. And that was Spectrum?
That was Spectrum.
Where's the next one?
The next one was the YMCA. And I was actually training both spots at that time. And then probably around 22 years old, I got a job offer for the YMCA as a personal trainer, wellness director. And that was a great experience for me. I learned how to, you know, I had employees underneath of me. I had learned how to budget for my department. And all those cool, you know, sort of nitty-gritty aspects of running a business, within a business.
So let's rewind there then. You kind of glossed over working two different jobs. So you're at the Spectrum still, then you go to the Y, mm-hmm. right? Where's this hustle mentality coming from that you're like, I'm going to have one job and then I'm going to go get another one?
It was that hustle mentality came from just me wanting to grow and learn as much as possible. And sometimes when you're just in one environment, you don't get all the opportunities to learn different things from different people. Even though it was technically the same job at two different places, there was completely different demographics of people. There was different trainers at each spot that I learned from, different management. So, It was the hustle mentality was always there because I've always been of the growth mindset. Also, I got my first job when I was 15. My parents are very hardworking people. It was always around me. So,
and so now you're at the Y, you're doing both. You're a personal trainer at the Y though, right? Just like you are at Spectrum.
Correct.
So how do you get this promotion to have pretty much people under you, and now you're in a management position? What'd you do to achieve that next level of progress?
I would say networking. So much of our success in life is through relationships and learning how to communicate with people around you, getting people to know you, being authentic with them. And people in higher up positions, like mentors or employers, if they connect with you and like you, see that you're willing to work hard and you have aspirations of whatever mm-hmm. it is, people are very willing to help you along the way. When I became director of the personal training and wellness department, I was the youngest one director I was 22.
Okay.
So I was the youngest one by a significant amount for the most part in regards to the directors that were there. The YMCA has different departments and there's a director for each one. Mm-hmm. So I became personal training and wellness department director. And so it was just really through networking, building those relationships at that job. And when the opportunity presented itself, I hopped on it. And because I had already established those relationships and connections, it was kind of a, you know,
easy transition. Was there any nervousness on your end taking that now leap from being a personal trainer? The buck stops with you, but because there's only you. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to get people under you that you're going to be in charge of. Now you're in charge of their results. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure a bunch of other responsibilities. Was there any hesitation? Was there any nervousness in taking that opportunity?
Without a doubt. Just like anytime I've had something new in my life, there's always that nervousness, that fear of the unknown, of am I good enough, that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a very common thing that a lot of people feel like they're alone in. A lot of times we'll look around and be like, oh, everyone has their stuff together.
No, for sure.
You know, but it's actually not true. Those people that you think have their stuff together, first of all, it took a lot of time to probably get to where they're at. And then secondly, if you really investigated the back of their mind, they have doubts, they have fears. So I wasn't going to let that hold me back. And I went for it, even though I was nervous and fearful.
Was that your first major time doing that? Or had you done that before, what you just explained of I'm nervous, but I'm a jump into the nervousness rather than shy away from it?
Yeah, I would say there's been aspects of that throughout my whole life, whether it's in sports, going out for a position. First time I started playing football, am I good enough? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to let my team down?
So you bring up a good, something that sticks out to me when you say football is I remember back when I played football, it didn't matter whether it was my, you know, sixth year playing. Before kickoff, and I tended to be on a kick return or on the kickoff team, there was this nervousness mm-hmm. of like it's the first time ever again. Mm-hmm. But I started learning over time that after I just ran and hit somebody, mm-hmm. that nervousness went away. And then I got to just have fun with the game.
Right.
But it was always still there. And, you know, now that you bring that up, I'm like, oh, well, that kind of was probably very helpful for me, at least, to know, because I remember my mindset switching. Even though I felt nervousness, I knew now, oh, I just need to hit somebody mm-hmm. and I'll feel good.
Without a doubt. And that anxiety and fear, I should say more anxiety, but it's an energy and it can be utilized in different ways. It can be, you can take that same energy and just kind of completely tank yourself, or you can take that same energy and be like, all right, yeah, I'm anxious, I'm fearful, but I'm going to use this energy and just push through regardless. Just like with that first hit or that, you know, first job or budgeting, you know, contract that I had for the why. You just got to go for it and use that energy. Understand that I'm anxious right now, I'm fearful. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to move forward regardless. And there's power in that.
Absolutely. The way you mention energy and being flowed is just like, it has to be directed, right?
It's
coming towards us and it's going to happen to us whether we want it or mm-hmm. not, but it's up to us to make the decision of where we direct it.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, where when they get that fear, that anxiety, our body doesn't do anything for us mm-hmm. that's not good for us. Mm-hmm. It's giving us that fear and that anxiety because it wants us to make a decision and make a move to put us forward or out of danger. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people bottle those feelings up, don't do anything, curl up into a bar or stay in bed and just dwell all in those feelings, and it starts to deteriorate our body.
Yes.
And so that's powerful. So I'm glad we touched base on that. Moving forward, what's the next step from the why wellness?
So I did that for a few years. And one of the aspects of that job that wasn't for me was it was a lot behind the desk and on the computer, not so much face-to-face interactions, which I really enjoy and I feel like I thrive in. So as time went on, it was kind of in the back of my head, is this for me long-term? I'm not sure. So during that time, I got a side job coaching for Dos Pueblos football team as a strength conditioning coach. And so that really exercise that part of me that wanted to engage and be face to face with people, share my gifts and my enthusiasm for sports and fitness. So that was the next step.
And that was 24,
25.
And when you're doing the personal training, you're working with the teenagers, the actual students on the team?
Yep. We'd have a zero period. We'd get there at 5 a.m. and work out till about 6:30, and then they would have their first classes after that.
And you got to work with just the football players or the whole athletic?
It was just the football players, freshmen through varsity.
When you played football, did you have a personal trainer like that come in?
We did. Yeah. We had a few strength conditioning coaches that came in, and I remember how I looked up to them, how it felt to have a professional showing me the ropes in regards to fitness and how to improve yourself through fitness in your sport.
Got it. All right. So DP now. And are you still, did you leave both Spectrum and Y at this time to go DP?
So there's kind of a little layover in that. So yeah, for part of that time, I was still at the YMCA. And then I left. I was still coaching. And then that's when I first became an independent contractor as a trainer while I was a coach at Dos Pueblos.
Where they hired you at DP as an independent contractor.
Yep.
And who brought that up? How did even an independent contractor become in your world? Because I know as if you only know what you know. So if you're in this bubble and you've never heard of independent contractors, business owners, entrepreneurs, I mean, school kind of just tells us to, you learn, you get a job, and then you work your way up the ladder as an employee.
Yeah.
So how did you know about independent contractors?
Well, I kind of had to in that situation. Dustin, the previous owner of the gym, he had a connection with the school. The head coach at the time allowed us to kind of come out there and show them what I was capable of, my knowledge. So there's kind of a testing period. And then from there, during that testing period, I knew that I had to get my business license and get all that paperwork done with so that I could work as an independent contractor if he decided to hire me through that process. So it was trial and error in that regard, to where I didn't go into it knowing I needed that. Yeah. But through the process, I knew I had to do that, so I did.
Yeah, by being around others who knew about it, for, like you said, expanding your network.
Yep.
And so you train at DP. You mentioned Dustin, the previous owner of Superior Fitness. Where did he come into the picture for you? Like, were you already working at the gym for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't tell me that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So I became an independent contractor like I said, there's a lot of overlap during this time, like in about a year, where I took the leap to be an independent contractor at the gym. And then during that time, as I was becoming an independent contractor at the gym, I was also doing that testing period at Dos Pueblos. So it all kind of came together at once in regards to me being an independent contractor as a trainer outside of Dos Pueblos, and then the strength conditioning coach at Dos Pueblos.
Yeah, which is another funny thing is how momentum works, right?
Yes.
You just get in, you go, and all of a sudden opportunities are just keep on coming because you're in it, you're doing work. And they come. You can think about it all day and brainstorm and sit on your couch or at your desk, but you're going to have so much more success by just saying, I'm going to just go do it.
The path unfolds as you start taking steps. I feel like what holds so many people back is they want everything to be aligned perfect. They got to wait for this perfect situation for it to unfold. They got to have all the ideas of what that's going to look like, how it's going to be. That is what holds people back. You have to just go for it. You'll figure it out along the way. The learning and growth and development comes along the journey, not beforehand. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that's a big part that's missed, right? When you learn about book smarts, you read about it, and you almost think like you know because I read it. So you could regurgitate the knowledge that you read. Mm-hmm. But there's so many different things that you'll never know about or even know how to like adjust when something comes up from just reading about it. And that only comes from doing it.
Completely.
Yeah. Okay. And so now you're doing both. DP goes good for you. That comes to an end at some point. Why did you stop training at DP?
My volume in training, personally, really just exploded. And I was training some football players outside of what they were doing in school as well. So I felt good about being able to still impact and benefit the team in regards to training the players still. So yeah, it really blew up and it, you know, got more busy. So I had to really allocate my time a little bit more efficiently. And so I really went mostly full time, just training as an independent contractor.
And you worked out of Superior Fitness at this time as an independent contractor and were just growing your clientele from there?
Yes.
Now, how much of a headache or you know, deterrent was it for you, like the paperwork, getting business license, doing the accounting? Because I feel a lot of people get held up on that. They build this big old thing of why they can't start their own business or side business. I mean, how much did it affect you once you got started?
As far as the paperwork and the startup,
yeah,
it's actually one of the easiest parts. It's just a matter of doing the steps that you know need to be done in order to have a business. So that's the easy part. I'd say the harder part, once you start working for yourself, is figuring out the plan to move forward in that business. Because unlike when you have an employer where they say, you got to be here at this time. Okay, these are the tasks we're doing, X, Y, and Z. When you're on your own, it's all up to you.
Yeah.
So you could sit back and relax, but you're not going to get good business. You're not going to make money. So that really self-motivation, that self-discipline, that self-structure is key with that. And so that's how I really got myself going and had to learn those lessons along the way where, okay, it's all up to me now.
Yeah. And there's levels to it, right? As an employee, you don't got to worry about drumming up work. Your boss is doing that. The business owner is doing that for you. You become an independent contractor. Well, they say, oh, now you're your own boss, but you're also your own employee, right? Mm-hmm. So you're the employee doing the work, but you also got to wear that hat of the boss to where you got to drum up the next work.
Yep.
You got to be able to play both of, oh, I got this nice workload here, but you can't have that mentality of I just want to finish that and go home, because now when you go home, you got to do the paperwork. The paperwork's there, the accounting, all that. But the biggest part of it is I got to keep business coming in, right? So how did you continually grow your clientele?
Luckily in this town, referrals are huge. It's such a small community. So networking in any environment is important, but especially in Santa Barbara, it was really convenient for me growing up here. People knowing my name and your work is your reputation. So I really took that very seriously. And a lot of the growth initially was word of mouth. I wasn't too big into social media back then, but that is a very powerful tool to use as well, just to get the word out there. And not just marketing yourself with flashy lights and glittery things, but actually having the product to back it up. Because I feel like a lot of times you could have all the marketing things in the world, but if your product isn't great, that reputation is going to get out there, and that in the long term will set you up for failure. So really just getting the nitty-gritty foundation built first and then worrying about the accessory marketing stuff after that. And I feel like that's kind of how I naturally approached it, because I wasn't too into social media at the time, and I just focused on making the best product possible. And through word of mouth, it grew. And then from that point on, I started working on more social media marketing type stuff.
Yeah, and you, what we go back to again, it was just momentum. You had one client, two client, three, you just go, and that continued to do it for you. It's like you did the work, and so then more work came towards you from word of mouth marketing.
And it wasn't easy. It was scary. When you're on your own, it's scary. You know, and when you have a job, an employer, you know exactly how much you're going to get each month.
Yep.
When you're on your own, that's up to you. And sometimes you may not have learned the lessons at that time to figure out all the issues. So you may take a hit one month. And a lot of times people jump ship when that happens. When you're your own boss, you got to stay the course. Even when the road gets rocky, you got to keep going. You got to understand, okay, yeah, I'm learning along the way right now. I'm getting some valleys, but I'm going to keep pushing forward because I know there's a peak coming up if I keep learning these lessons, if I keep pushing forward, because most people just throw in the towel. So the longer you can stay with it, the less competition you have, because now you're pushing past what most people give up on.
Yeah. And I would say that it is scary, just like you said. And I know I come from a different perspective because I didn't get to be an employee for very long. You know, as teenagers, I had jobs, but starting a business at 18 and kind of growing it from there, my mind is more developed of being a business owner and an entrepreneur. But I was scared too from that perspective. I was scared to be an employee because I felt I was putting my family's welfare in somebody else's hands.
I completely agree with that idea.
You know, I worked in big corporations. I worked for small businesses. And one thing that was common is that even good workers would get laid off for whatever reason. For whatever reason it may have been, just downsizing. To me, that was scary to think that as an employee, I've grinded for 10 years. I've got my bonuses. I've got my vacation. That was nice and comfortable. But then one day I walk in and there's a pink slip for me because they say, hey, I sold the company and now I'm out. And now what do I do? Now I got to go find another job. To me, that was more scary for me. And so I've always been motivated to be like, although it's scary, I choose to put that stuff on my back and count on me to bring in business, for me to execute that business. And if it's on me, that's what I'll do.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And so you train, you've grown your clientele. What's the next step from there?
Next step from there was, again, just building up my business, experimenting with things, experimenting with niches in regards to what type of clients I want to work with. Scaling for any business is pivotal in growth. So, okay, I can do a one-on-one session with one person for an hour. Or could I do two people at the same time? Could I do three? Could I do a group class? So experimenting with different ways to scale my business. And you always connect the dots looking back. But as you're going through it, my 20s were just a matter of sort of bouncing back and forth, you know, between things. But always going in that direction. So yeah, growing my business was really pivotal during that time. There was also another part of me that really liked the medical industry too. So to throw something in there along that journey, I was an EMT for a couple years while I was doing that as well, very part-time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was doing that as well. So yeah, during that period, it was a lot of building relationships, really honing in my craft and, yeah, learning the lessons along the way.
And all this time, what's your financial situation and your outlook as far as, okay, let me start putting some of this money away? Or you get that income and you're like, oh, wow, independent contractors, they make a good amount of money. I'm not making Spectrum money anymore. What was your mindset when it came with the finances? Because when you do become an independent contractor, you do become a business owner, that payday is bigger, but it's not all yours.
No. You got to put it back in your business. You have to, that's why a bookkeeper, if you know, depending on how big your business is absolutely important because yeah, you may have this chunk of change, but you got expenses as well. And you also got to save it for a rainy day. As an independent contractor, business owner, again, it's all on you. So who knows? Another lockdown could happen. Are you going to be able to pay rent? Do you have a chunk of change saved up? So I wasn't the best at that at first at all.
Okay.
You know, I would get some more money. I'd be like, awesome, I got some more money. Let me buy this and that, you know? And you know, you quickly learn that, again, you have more responsibility as a business owner. And, save money, invest money into your business. The thing about investing money into your business, too, is you don't always know the ROI on that investment. There's certain ones that are like you can do a direct correlation, but there's certain risk mm-hmm. in investing in your business, too, where it's like, okay, that failed. I basically lost that money, but I did gain a lesson from it. So as far as the finances, the bigger paychecks and things like that, those steadily increased over time, and so did my knowledge and understanding of how to manage those finances.
Now, you're getting your finances in line, you're getting a hold of that, your clientele, you don't have any trouble with your clientele list. When are the seeds starting to be planted that you're like, I want to take this to the next level and go from independent contractor to a business owner?
Yeah, I would say that was always in the back of my mind. Going back to when I was 15 years old as a fry cook, doing personal training with Adam Shipley, my trainer, he had his own gym. And I just remember as a kid being in there going, wow, this is really cool. You can make a living helping people get fit, mm-hmm. be better at their sport or whatever it is. That always intrigued me. And I remember saying to myself when I was that age, like, I want to own a gym one day. And through that, since that time, during up until the point we're talking about in this story, that was always in the back of my mind, but it wasn't always like a definitive thing. So around, I would say 27, 28 is when I really started trying to orient myself in that direction. And again, going back to the previous owner, Dustin, he really let me as independent contractor kind of make that gym my own in so many ways. I'm so grateful for that. So it started there. Just that was like the little nest of my future business. Dustin knew that I wanted to have my own gym one day. And he's like, you know what? This will be the soil where, you know, you grow your fruit. And yeah, so I started moving that direction around that time. And one thing led to another. There was no definitive date where I was like, I need to have my own gym around this time. I was like, let's see what I can do here. Let's see what I can build up. And as that happened, my vision for what I wanted started, you know, maturing and manifesting in different ways.
What was your vision, what you wanted compared to what you have now? Is it different? Is it really spot on?
You know,
explain that.
There's still much more to go in regards to development and the things I want to do, but it's actually very similar to the way I envisioned it. Especially what we're doing at the gym was solid as mm-hmm. well. For me, there was always such intrinsic value in working with younger people in general, because I knew myself at that age how important that was and how much I craved that. So that's always been something I've wanted a part of my gym. And also just making a cool gym that I love, that I would want to go to, things that I would want to see in a gym, I really think, you know, has become what I have now. And like I said, there's many more things that I want to add and develop. But as it stands right now, sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, I kind of think of the 15-year-old Jordan. I'm like, dude, we're not there, but yeah. We are on our way.
And you allow yourself to be proud of yourself?
Yeah, it's hard to do. That's something I've had to learn mm-hmm. over time. Throughout my life, I've been really tough on myself, which can help you to a certain extent. But as you said, you kind of have to look back sometimes and be proud of yourself and go, wow, okay, look how far we've come and appreciate it. Don't rest on your, you know, mm-hmm. accolades. Keep moving forward. But there is power in being able to look back and appreciate how far you've come.
Yeah, and it's a balance, right? You don't want to be patting yourself on your back for every day and saying, oh, well, I could chill, mm-hmm. I could rest because of my accomplishments, and take too long of a, you know, celebration.
Yeah.
Because the world keeps moving. There is, mm-hmm. there's things that need to be done. And the world is abundant by I don't want to say that it start any scarcity mindsets to where somebody's going to take it if you don't. No, the world's abundant, but it requires your action.
Yes.
And so it's good to congratulate yourself, celebrate yourself, especially if you don't have others to do it for you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm always under the mindset that I'm multiple people. And the hard-ass worker, the business owner who will work 12, 16-hour days to do whatever it takes to get it done, isn't the same person that is going to congratulate himself. So there's got to be another part of me that says, hey, hold up, wait. Do you see what you did there? Mm-hmm. Be proud of yourself. We thought about this. You know, it could be you're taking a shower, a thought comes into you. You could mm-hmm. be on a jog or a workout. It's a great place to have ideas. And it's one thing to have ideas, but to me, it's like almost magical how you could take an idea and turn it into reality.
Yes.
And for that to be just to think of that and not take the time to be like, well, that's just like, in a spiritual sense, you manifested something from nothing. Mm-hmm. And for you to not take the time to be grateful for it and give yourself credit is almost like that could be taken from you because you're not grateful.
Yeah.
You know, totally. God's going to be like, man, we did this together. Mm-hmm. You just want to go right on to the next thing. You didn't even appreciate the beauty and blessings that you just got.
Completely.
And so that's always important for me. And I was very bad at that myself as well. But we learn as we go, just mm-hmm. like you said. And so you go from saying, I want to be that business owner. Do you have multiple opportunities that come your way that are open to you to say, this is how I'm going to do it? Or was it just a straight line of sight of how you're going to get your own business?
Sorry, say that one more time.
Yeah, so you've made up your mind. You said there were seeds planted that you wanted to be a business mm-hmm. owner. But I mean, I've been around you for years. Mm-hmm. And I know there was I don't know if it was like a direct switch, but I could definitely see your mind being made up and saying, I'm going to be a business owner now from before it was, I'm working my way up to be a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to train with you. I've got to coach with you. I've got to work out of the same gym as you. And I seen that switch. What was that switch that finally made you say, now is the time?
It was the leap of faith. For me, it was just going all in. And that fear we spoke about before, the difference between a reaction and a response. And my reaction is something you don't think about. You just feel and kind of go with your emotions. If I would have followed that, I probably wouldn't have done it. I probably would have found something more comfortable, more consistent, something where I knew what the outcome was. But I knew to fulfill what my potential is and to give my gifts back to the world that has blessed me, I knew I had to go for it and go all in and burn the boats behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that there's no plan B. I'm just going for it. And once you make that decision, it's scary, but it's liberating because, you know, I'm just going for it. And a lot of times what holds you back is having that plan B, holding it real close. It's like your blankie. It's like your safety net. You got to burn that sometimes in order to really progress forward. So that was a shift.
Yeah, I can honestly see. You never came to talk to me about it. I think we're much closer than we were back then. But I could see the shift mm-hmm. in you then. And it's been nonstop. You've been moving forward with that decision. And I knew that taking over Superior was one option. So my question was, did you have multiple options? Or was that kind of like, that's what I want? I want to see if I could buy the gym from Dustin. Or did you have other things to look at as well?
Yeah, as far as like buying the business from Dustin, that was never on the table for me. Because as far as I knew, Dustin wanted to run the gym indefinitely. So I did have plans in regards to looking at different spots. I had a few spots lined up that I said, okay, that might be a good potential. Also, I had an investor who was willing to go in and potentially, you know, buy a building. And so I had all these things kind of lined up in that regard. And then life just kind of presents itself with things you can't predict. And Dustin all of a sudden decided he wanted to move to Tennessee with him and his family. And rather than me getting my stuff and planting it somewhere else that I wanted to move, I could just keep the momentum going where I was at. And the West Side's a really special place for me too. I grew up on the West Side. Those businesses that have been there forever. So yeah, I did not predict buying or planning to buy the gym from Dustin, but it just so happened to work out. The universe just kind of placed that opportunity in front of me. I was going to make a move elsewhere if not, but it just so happened that that was the case.
Yeah, and you know, a blessing for both, right? It would have been so hard for him to be in Tennessee and run something over there. So it's great that two good people were blessed for their different life paths at the time, but that it all worked out. And, you know, Solid Foundations, where we run our kids program out of there, we were there too. We have been there for years. And to be able to have you as the fitness coach take over, and Dustin, the old owner who brought us in and opened his home to us, was seamless. You know, so that was very great for Solid. When it comes to it, there is never a doubt in my mind. I'm the kind to think about already, even though everything's gravy, okay, what happens if we lose this contract? What happens if we lose this lease? You know, so, and I think as a business owner that has developed over the years, where I'm already thinking, even though there's no clues of something bad going to happen, so I always have things in place. Just like how we landed at Superior, is because we lost we weren't allowed to work out of a place anymore. I wouldn't say allowed, it just wasn't a right fit anymore. And so there was no like, oh, what am I going to do? It was like, we're going to keep moving forward. And when you start at a park, you know, when it comes to what we do at Solid, we started at a park. We were successful at a park. That's why we've gotten multiple opportunities from that point. So there's never no fear if I don't have a place, because I could just go back to the park. And I think a lot of business owners have that fear of going back and scaling down, but most of them started out of a garage. You know, I know when I started my office furniture business and I turned it from an independent contractor to a business, I worked out of my garage. I could always go back there, you know? So no matter what happens, you got the blueprint to at least get back to where you were.
Yeah.
And then if you failed at a certain point of height, you just do something different once you get to that point, you know? And so it's that coming back to that fear and that anxiety. But man, like something when it comes to business, I don't really get the feeling of it. But I do get the feeling in other places of life of like settling. And so I want people to know that if they're curious about starting a business, but they're too afraid to because of the fear. You know, I want to switch that mindset for them. I want to say, use fear. If you're going to be fearful of something, be fear of the regret.
Yes.
Of not doing something. And I've been able to use that as a tool for me to be like, whatever's going to happen for me taking this leap of faith is not going to be as bad as having regret from not doing it. And it's never done me horrible. I'm still breathing. I'm alive. And, you know, I've been rewarded for it. And man, life, you got to experience, man. Absolutely. You got to go out and experience it.
Having that conversation with 90-year-old self is absolutely key. Because as you said, the regret is the worst part. You know, you don't regret all the things, all the risk you took just to go for it. You regret holding back, not shining your light in the world that you know you're capable of. That is the scariest thing. And I think that that's what holds a lot of people back. That initial fear of making a move in their life where they're not sure, it may seem so big to them right then in that moment. But to their 90-year-old self, they would say, just freaking go for it. Life is short, you know? So, yeah, I like that. I think that that is absolutely key, understanding that the biggest fear is regret.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And something else I wanted to pick your brain about is you've been in fitness since you were a teenager, going through all your business journey. To me, I believe energy is a valuable asset when it comes to running a business. And I think if you get a good workout in and you make a decision from that high, that natural high you're on, in that when you're in the lower, you're, you know, in lower vibration, you're not feeling as well, but you keep just doing what you did when you felt you were on top of the world, that can help guide you, you know, in your fear of trying new things. And like when you felt your best, write it down. Most importantly, go take action, make that phone call, go open up that fictitious business name, get that business license, you know, start something and then force yourself to have to follow. But don't let time, whatever it is, don't let time pass by, whether it's opening a business, asking a person out that you want to do, you know, doing, going above and beyond for your kids in some way. Don't let the fear hold you back.
Yeah. No, exactly. yeah, there's just been so many times in my life where I have let fear hold me back. And it's never served me playing it small. Mm-hmm. If you fail playing it big, even if you lose, you get very valuable lessons to keep moving forward. And yeah, fear, like we mentioned earlier, is just an energy. And moving forward regardless, because you're never going to be fully motivated all the time. I don't even like motivation, because motivation dies. Motivation has an expiration date. When motivation dies, discipline comes in. And in any facet of life where you're trying to grow and move forward in a journey, you must have discipline, because you're not always going to feel like doing the things you need to do. You're not always going to feel great. And if you're always relying on feeling great and feeling motivated, you're going to set yourself up for failure. So the times where you don't feel like doing the things you need to do for whatever journey you're on is the most important time to do those things. Because not only does that get you further down the path, but that builds self-confidence in yourself. Because there's always a part of yourself that is observing you doing your life. And the more times you do the hard things when you don't want to do them, the more faith you have in yourself, the more self-esteem you build, and that momentum will drive you forward over time. But just understanding that it's not all roses. It's gonna be ups and downs. But keep your eye on the prize, keep that discipline in check, and the path will unfold for you as you go.
Yeah, and I think you being in the fitness world, you have so much that you can take from your professional level of working out, of kind of what you just said right now is habit stacking, right? Mm-hmm. You do one thing good, you could stack on that. You can look back to your fitness journey and see how your progression went because of the different things you were doing over and over, the routines, the pushing yourself. And I think so many people miss out if they're not working out, if fitness is not a part of their life. You happen to make it a business for yourself and a profession, but somebody who doesn't have it as a profession but wants to start a business, those two are linked. At least I'm going to say they're linked, man. You should be working out as a part of your life. And if you're not, I think that's a great place to start of habit stacking.
Yes.
Start the good habit of just showing up, going that workout. You're going to feel different. Your confidence is going to grow. And then you could maybe build yourself up to go take that leap of faith somewhere else. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And starting with fitness is a great, great way to do it, because those things spill over into areas of your life. But fitness is such a beautiful way to present the principles that work for many things, because you really get out what you put in with fitness. It's very straightforward. As we talked before, with certain business investments, you can put something in, but maybe get nothing out of it. Oh, yeah. You get a lesson. But as far as working out, if you put in the workouts, you're getting the sleep, you're getting the nutrition, you're gonna get results. It's not like a one-off investment where nothing's gonna come of it. There is very direct correlation with what you put in and what you get out. And developing that mindset in fitness can spill over to other areas of your life. And you realize that those principles that make you successful in business or in fitness make you successful in business, make you successful in your relationships, and so on. So that's, I think, starting with fitness for somebody who's trying to get that going is absolutely key. And that's another huge reason why fitness is so valuable to me, and teaching people how to be fit about fitness is because I understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's served me so well in so many aspects of my life.
And, mostly the people who are going to be listening to this is adults. Mm-hmm. We know adults are a lot of them are stuck in their ways, so they could be hearing this. Oh, it sounds good. And it's right. Both you and I coach adults. You coach adults daily. Mm-hmm. I have lots of experience coaching adults and being employing adults. I think both you and I can agree that that's where part of our passion in teaching kids is, because adults are like concrete and kids are like sponges.
Yeah.
So we could take a lot of our knowledge and wisdom of what we know will make us feel good and work and pour into our kids at Solid Foundations, and they're going to take it, and that's just going to become a part of their life moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Is that why you take such passion in working with the kids at Solid?
Absolutely, yeah. They're malleable sponges. They're eager to learn. They're eager to look up to somebody. They're eager to model things. And that can go two directions as well. That can go really positive role models. That can also go really negative. Mm-hmm. As you know, with your growing up, you were involved in gangs. What was that desire? You wanted to belong. You wanted to get respect. You wanted to be valued. Mm-hmm. Those are all great things inherently. Yeah. But you can take that either by jumping people and being in gangs and gaining respect through those people who are, on that trajectory. Or you could go, okay, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to make my family proud of me. I'm going to provide for my kids. I'm going to earn respect through my peers by showing my hard work, dedication, integrity. At its core, that's the same desire. But how it's enacted is different. So to be in a position where I can go to a young kid and be like, check out what you got going on right here. Look at that. Look at where you could go right here. Look at how positive this energy and trajectory could be for you.
For sure. And I don't think it's any coincidence that I got jumped into a gang at 15. I had sports prior to that, but being like on a team and being a jock just wasn't for me. It's not something that you just feel it wasn't for me. And then other than that, I had zero activities. I didn't work out. I didn't know what working out in a gym was, and actually having fitness part of your life. Mm-hmm. For me, I didn't have martial arts. Like now I train jiu-jitsu. I didn't have that in my life. And I didn't have any like serious jobs or career, So the three things that helped me now as an adult, I didn't know as a little kid. And just like you said, I was seeking those things. I could have found them in those areas, mm-hmm. those three things. But instead, yeah, I found them going down a different bad path. Mm-hmm. And that's why Solid exists. Mm-hmm. So we can take these kids and say, here, let's expose them to these foundational lessons that we know that has helped us. And let's start them off young and instill these values in them and good habits, and then they can grow up with them and take them into adulthood. The only thing is, not every kid gets to be exposed, right? Solid is limited with resources. And so one thing that always sticks out into my head is especially you say coming from growing up with gang members and friends and homies is, there were so many people I could see, I look back, that had potential. but they had no mentors pouring into them, and they didn't have the resources or even know about different activities that kids could do that could grow and have structure and go and do in life. And that's why at Solid we want to expose as many kids as possible to the lessons we teach, but we need help in that. And that, you know, I don't know if I've done a good enough job explaining our BRIC program to the community, but the BRIC program allows people to make monthly donations that we can now take those donations and offer free classes to kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go into schools and expose kids to these different lessons. And as those kids grow up, if you get good at something, let's say, one, you get exposed to something, which is not every kid gets the chance to. But let's say you do. That's what I call S, showing up, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've been there, you've learned, you've gotten good at it, you want to take it to the next level, you want to go compete. Well, what does that cost? Travel cost, tournament cost, you know, food. Parents struggle with that. It's hard, you know, it's like, I want Solid to be able to back our kids that have shown, okay, you're serious about this, you want to take it to the next level. Here, we got people in the community who are going to invest in you. Because I know I had people invest in me. Just like you said, you had somebody ready to buy to rent or lease or buy a building for your gym. You have people ready to invest in you. And I believe we give back to our community, right? We try to do good to our community. So all these kids in Solid, I'm thinking, well, Jordan helps, you know, about the 10, 20 kids a week. All his adult clients, he has a gym that helps hundreds of adults. Well, that's one person doing that. I'm one person. I help lots and lots of people, same thing as you. So if we have 30 something kids in Solid times out by 100, that's what I'm thinking. As they grow up, we instill this into them. It compounds interest. And that's what the BRIC program does, is monthly investors into Solid. And it's just something that I'm passionate about, but I want to do a better job of getting that word out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So unless anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, again, I would say if you're looking to start your own business and go for something, we all have different life circumstances. You may go, oh, I have kids, I have a full-time job. Like, how can I do this? There's ways you can start on the side. I would say if you have something you're passionate about, you don't necessarily have to, as I said, burn the boats. Mm-hmm. I think you need to get there eventually. If that's something you want to do full-time, maybe something you want to do part-time. I don't know. But figure out your vision. Figure out what you want to do. And I would say make it something that's intrinsically valuable, something you're actually passionate about. You know, obviously you want to be able to make money with it. But if you're passionate about it, that's what's going to get you through the hard times, through the ups and downs. So making that decision, starting small, maybe on the side with a little side hustle, learn as you go through that, learn how to scale it, learn how to build it, and maybe even pivot or something. But the bottom line is you have to go for it. You have to stop thinking about it. You have to stop waiting for everything to align perfectly before you make the next move. Because as I said, the path unfolds as you go, not before. Not before. And so many people get hung up before. They want everything perfect. They want everything aligned. They want to know all the answers. Guess what? That's not how it works. You figure out 90% of that as you go. A crappy plan executed is better than a perfect plan never actualized. Yeah. So take your crappy plan and move forward with it and understand you're going to fail. Understand you're going to feel like an imposter at certain times. Understand that not everyone has it together. So you're not alone. And just go for it, because the 90-year-old self is going to look back and be proud and understand that you didn't hold back your light from shining. And the worst thing you can do is when you're 90 years old, look back and regret all of the things you didn't just go for in your very short life. So just go for it.
Appreciate it, brother.